Good morning and welcome in the strong name of Jesus. Welcome to those who are worshiping via live stream. Hi, Hannah. She's doing well after her surgery this week. She's at home recovering, so thank you for all your prayers. Receive this from the Lord, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast all of those things that you are carrying, that you have gone through this week, on the Lord. Turn them over to Him and allow Him to carry them. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name. You alone are worthy of praise. We turn our burdens over to you. Help us each day to see you at work in our lives. Help us not to miss the little things that you do each day for us. We're set free from sin and darkness, and the enemy has no hold on us because of what you have done for us. Open our ears to hear and fill us with your Spirit. Speak to our hearts and our souls, giving us direction and guidance, and draw us closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I invite you to stand as we worship God this morning. And during our first song, the ushers will be coming forward to receive our gifts and offerings. And the children may also come forward for My Coins Count.
Beauty that day this bow for prayer. Father God, we bring these gifts to you and offer them as a reminder and recognition that you own it all and that there is no capacity, no intellect, no ability, no resource we have that did not first come from you. We just ask that you would use these and use us to multiply your kingdom and to invite others into a right relationship with you. And Lord, help us to be humble and to make the wrong road short when we turn away from that commitment to you. Speak to us, Lord, and help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Smell.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life with you. Lord, we just give all honor and glory to you. And Lord, I pray that you would be near Tony as he brings us your message this morning. Lord, just open our hearts, our ears, our eyes to what it is that you are teaching us through Tony this morning, that it may bring all glory and honor to you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning again. It's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Doesn't seem like you have a lot of energy today. No? Maybe? Possible? So, the title of our message in a little bit is going to be, How Will We Know and What's Next? So, what are we waiting for that's going to happen in about a week?
Christmas,
right? Are you guys excited for Christmas? See, I am, even though my family calls me a bit of a humbug that, oh, you don't like Christmas. No, I love Christmas. I enjoy it. It just takes me a lot longer to get into the mood of Christmas instead of right after Thanksgiving. People like flip the light switch and they're full 100% Christmas. No, give me about a week and a half before Christmas. That's when I really get excited for Christmas. So, what comes along with Christmas? Right? That comes along with Christmas. No school. You guys get a break from school. What else comes?
New Year's,
yes, that comes right after Christmas. Do you guys like eat big family dinners at Christmas? Get together with a bunch of people, right? How about that?
That is for
Christmas. Right? Yeah, that's for Christmas, right? We give gifts. You guys love Christmas presents, right?
Yeah,
I'm in the same boat. I love Christmas presents. I love to give them and receive them. We give gifts to family and friends. So why do we do that? Why do we give gifts to family and friends?
Because it's Christmas.
Because it's Christmas, yeah.
And God was a gift to us.
God, who was a gift that God gave us?
Jesus,
yes.
When Jesus was born, the three wise men gave
They gave gifts, right? Yeah. So the wise men gave gifts. Jesus was a gift to us from God. We give gifts because we care about people. We love our friends and our family, and we want to give them a gift, just like Jesus was a gift to us. So that's why we give gifts. And Jesus was the greatest gift that we could receive at Christmas time. He came as a baby. And all we have to do is ask him into our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. Right? The anticipation of Christmas builds. Everybody's excited, especially when your kids to open presents and to see what your parents got you. And it's a fun time. Well, the nation of Israel, they were waiting for Jesus, the Messiah. Yes. The angels came, yes. The angels came to the shepherds out in the fields. But the nation of Israel was waiting for their Messiah for a long time. And we know that's Jesus. Jesus came and he set them free and he set us free from sin. And when we have him in our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we're set free from sin. And our scripture today is Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. And then we can have some volunteers to light some candles. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair, and they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will restore the former devastations. They will renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. These verses are things that Jesus has done or is going to do when he comes again. He's going to renew. He's going to rebuild. He's going to restore. So remember that when Jesus comes again, he will restore everything. So can I have some volunteers to light some candles? We're going to light three today because we really skipped one Sunday in Advent in the very beginning of December because we had a special celebration Sunday. Well, you guys have your hands up. You guys light the purple ones. Don't light the pink one. Is that the one that works easier, or is it this one? This one doesn't have the safety on it. Or maybe it's not going to light. Let me turn it up higher. There we go. Here, try that one. No, don't light that one. Light those. Might have to use two hands. While they work at that, we're going to you guys can have a snack and head back to your seat. Now, you can have two. One you're supposed to give to someone as a gift, and one you can keep for yourself. So help yourself. There's a bag there you can grab two. How's it going over here, guys? Well, that candle looks like it's... Yeah, don't fall over. That wouldn't be so good. Here, that one... How about I give you guys some assistance? Did you light one? Well, here, you can light another one.
I can't.
Well, this one has a safety on it. You have to squeeze this thing and squeeze that, and then it works. But oh, he got it for you. All right, you guys can have two. You're supposed to give one to someone else. Now we're going to watch a video from the Sensnigs. So I invite you to watch that.
Joyeux Noël. In this season of Christmas, we bring you greetings from Chad in 12 different languages.
This represents about one-tenth of the languages spoken here.
Our friends are saying good news of great joy.
Jesus Christ.
Joy to the world. The Lord has come.
So receive those greetings from the Sensing family as they are out in the world serving God. It was amazing to see how many languages were just in one small area. Well, good morning again. I want to thank the Kitchen Committee for all of their hard work in the past few weeks with multiple funerals and fellowship meals. I appreciate all of your hard work. I'd like to take a moment to pray for all the families who have recently lost loved ones. So will you join me in prayer for those families? Lord, we continue to lift up the Ringler, Horning, Culp, Gaiman, and Martin families to your throne of mercy and grace. Continue to give them peace and comfort. Carry them in the days and weeks to come. Help them to feel your presence right there alongside of them. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to continue to hold these families up in prayer to the Lord. This morning's message will focus on how we will know what's next. What's next? How many of us seek out answers when we have a question, when we don't know something? How many of us seek out answers? I'd say most of us do at some point. Seeking answers, it's good. It helps us learn. It helps us grow. There is one problem, though. The sources that we use for those answers can be an issue. Also, we want answers instantly, right? How many of you have ever pulled out your phone and either spoke into it or typed into one of the search engines a question because you needed the answer instantly? I know I have. It's kind of handy. You have a question and you want an answer, but if I don't answer it now, I might forget what that question was and I might not get the answer. So it's very convenient to do that. But it forms in us this instant need that we have to get answers instantly. I mean, we have instant food. We shop instantly. We can pull up our phone and just swipe a little bit, hit click, and it's on its way to our houses. We have this instant society. And we've become very accustomed to that. And when we have questions, what do we do when they're not answered? How we want them answered or when we want them answered? How do we deal with that in this instant society we have? Because we may wait for those answers for days or weeks or months or even a lifetime of asking the same question. See, I'm usually stuck in the slow lane, waiting in line. If you see me in line, don't get in my line. Get in another one. It'll go quicker. It's just easier that way for you. Because God is continually teaching me patience. At least that's the start of it. Because then he moves on to my attitude. Am I having a good attitude while I'm waiting in line, learning patience? So there's multiple things going on that God is teaching me while I wait in line. The nation of Israel waited to become a nation for 430 years. From the time God promised Abram that he would be a great nation until it actually happened was 430 years. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. The Lord God said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you and curse anyone who treats you with contempt. and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. From Abram, then Abraham, until Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, it took a long time for that promise to be answered. They took God's word on faith that God would fulfill his promises, because they didn't see fulfillment in their lifetime, the fulfillment of what God had promised Abram. And I'm sure the questions of when, how, and what's next, Lord, kept coming up, especially when they were enslaved in Egypt and they were crying out to God. So when we face things in our lives, are we taking God's word on faith? Or are we always asking, how's that going to be answered, Lord? What are you going to do? Is it this consistent bombardment of the same question over and over and over again? It's okay to ask God questions. There's nothing wrong with that. But maybe if it's a consistent thing, we have to go and look at our motives. Is it because we don't want to go through a trial or a test? Or maybe we're trying to rush through what God is trying to teach us in those times of waiting? Are we able to say to God, it's in your hands. We trust you. We're going to stand on your promises that you gave us. And we see this time of waiting throughout Israel's history in the Bible. God is working on them and in them through this time of waiting. He's growing them. We look at the time of judges. When God was their ruler, he used judges as a mouthpiece to bring his word to the nation and bring justice and judgment to them. At this time, people wanted to be like everyone else, and they demanded a king to rule over them. They didn't rely on God's timing. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 8, 1 to 5. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges over Israel. His firstborn son named Joel, his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. However, his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned toward dishonest profit, took bribes, and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and went to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Therefore, appoint a king to judge us, the same as all the other nations have." The people could not see past the point where Samuel's sons were going to be their judges, because they saw them not living right. They saw them not honoring God. They couldn't look past it. And what did they do? They demanded that God give them a king like all the other nations around them. The people took matters into their own hands, instead of waiting to see what God would do for them. They didn't carry the question of who's going to lead us. They didn't. They just said, we want a king. That's how we're going to do it. They didn't wait on God's timing. Isaiah 7, 10 to 13. I'm going to actually read 14 as well. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven." But Ahaz replied, "I will not ask. I will not test the Lord." Isaiah said, "Listen, house of David, it is not enough for you to try the patience of men. Will you also try the patience of God?" Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. We have a prophecy of how Jesus was going to be born, a prophecy of the coming Messiah. The nation of Israel waited 700 years until it was fulfilled. They carried that question of, when, Lord? What's next? What are you going to do, Lord? When will this Messiah come and reign and lead your people out of bondage into safety and prosperity, overthrowing this government that is ruling us harshly? 700 years is a long time. Last Sunday, Pastor Ken talked about John the Baptist. And he was prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 40. And 700 years later, we finally get to see what God had planned next. John 1, 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. From the prophecy in Isaiah to the fulfillment in John 1, people were waiting, not knowing when God would put his plan into motion. When John came, everyone should have been asking, what's next, Lord? But if they knew what Scripture said, and they hadn't read a lot of their own agenda into that, they would have seen what's next. They should have known what was next. It was the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Even though it didn't come in the exact way they were thinking or picturing, the one who came to save us from our sins, giving us eternal life, he came. But are we any different than the nation of Israel? Because we're still asking what's next. Since Jesus came as a baby and he went to the cross and died for our sins and he was raised from the dead to new life and ascended to heaven, we're asking what's next. We know what's next. Jesus will return. The scholars in Israel, they should have known that when John came, the next was Jesus. The next was the Messiah. Because they knew Scripture better than anyone, but they got stuck in the law. They should have known that John the Baptist was going to be followed by Jesus the Messiah. And in the same way, we should know what is next. Jesus is going to return. He's going to call all his faithful followers to his side. We're going to be his people, and he's going to be our God right there in our midst. He will be with us. It's hard to understand. We see that this is going to happen someday. It's one of those future events. Just like in the Bible, Jesus was prophesied coming the first time. It was a future thing. Jesus' return is a future thing. Sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle of daily life. We know that Christ is going to return. It's that future thing that we look forward to. But how do we live our daily lives between here and that future thing? How do we follow Christ in everything we do in that time of waiting? And asking, what's next, Lord? Does God always give us the answer that we want when we ask him? No. We're often faced with that waiting time, or we get a no to our question. Or maybe we face that dreaded silence where it seems like God is distant and we can't hear anything. And we continually cry out to God, "Where are you? What are you doing? How are you working?" And yet we don't hear anything. Does that mean God is not working? Absolutely not. God is always working. He's working in our hearts, changing us, renewing us. But are we seeking what God wants us to learn during that time of waiting? Waiting for answers of what's next? Are we digging in? Are we looking into Scripture? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we growing our relationship with God in that waiting time? That difficult time of just waiting. Did Job get any answer to the questions that he had, that he was going to stand up and ask God? But when God came and said, "Stand up and ask your questions," Job didn't. And Job never received an answer why he had to go through those tests and trials. We need to look at what we're learning and what we're doing in those times of asking God, "What do you want next for me?" God may be telling us that we need to learn to wait, trusting that He will follow through in His promises, growing our faith as we wait. Or maybe in this time of waiting is our time of training for what God truly has for us next. If you want to be a surgeon, you don't just step into an operating room and perform a surgery. You go to college, then you go to medical school, you do residency, and you continue to learn and grow, being mentored by other surgeons until you are capable of performing a surgery by yourselves. Eventually, you truly become a surgeon and you can do it without other surgeons standing around giving you guidance all of the time. As we grow spiritually, we mature in faith, growing in God's plan for our lives. When we are where God wants us to be, He will show us what is next at the right time. So as we draw close to Christmas, maybe you're asking what's next and you're not receiving any answers from God. Take time to look at what He's trying to teach you right where you're at. Are you growing in your faith walk with the Lord? Maybe God feels distant in this time of waiting, like Israel had to deal with when they were waiting for Jesus to come. Seek God with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. See, God is at work. His timing is perfect. Things will happen when He says it will happen and not a moment sooner. This is where we need to seek Him and be in tune with His will. Because when we go outside of His will and try to get ahead of His timeline, things don't work out so well. How many times in the Bible do we see people trying to go ahead of God's plan? Abram's wife Sarah gave her servant Hagar to Abram to have children in her name. This was going outside of God's plan. Sarah did have a son, just as God promised her. It took longer than she wanted it to. We know Jonah. He ran the opposite direction of what God's plan was. He ended up being thrown off a ship into the ocean, and he spent time inside of a whale or a fish. And there's many other times when people tried to get ahead of God's plan because they didn't want to wait any longer. There's times when we're waiting on God, asking, what is going to happen next, Lord? How will this turn out? Then there's times where we're told to go and do. We need to be obedient in both situations. Obedient in waiting. Obedient in going and doing. God just doesn't have us sitting around doing nothing while we're waiting for Him to move. We're supposed to be learning and growing. In Jeremiah 29, the Israelites who were deported to Babylon were told to build and plant, to get married, to have children, increase in number. They were in a time of waiting, yet they didn't stop working. And we as Christ followers are to do the same. We're supposed to work for the Lord while we wait. Wait for what He is going to call us to next. Jesus came thousands of years ago, and we're still waiting for His return. This is the ultimate answer to what is next, Christ's return. It will either be an eternity with Him forever or an eternity away from the Lord. As we go through this life, there are times when we ask, what is next, Lord? We need direction. But are we willing to wait for God to answer? Are we willing to press in deeper in a relationship with Him? Or do we want to press ahead and go outside of God's plan and do what we think is best? We may face something like Job did, and we'll never receive an answer of why that happened. We may have to take it on faith that God knows what is best for us on this day so that we can just do what He has planned for us in the next. So as Christmas approaches, the time of celebration of Jesus' birth, the time when we celebrate God fulfilling one promise, yet holding on to a future promise as well, take time to seek God. Prepare your hearts. Look at what He has planned for you. Look what He has planned for you next. Maybe it's a time of waiting. Maybe you're already in a time of waiting. It could be short, or it could be a lifetime of waiting. Trust in the Lord every day. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the times of waiting and asking questions, I pray that You give us peace as we trust in You and Your wisdom. Your timing is perfect. Give us strength to carry on each day. Motivate us to take one step after another as we wait on You. Help us to grow and learn and develop so that we can go and do what You have, what is next for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
I invite you to stand and join us as we sing the closing song, Joy to the World.
Nature sing. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Literally, it is very good to see all of you today. For those of you who may not know, I want to thank you for your prayers and encouragement the last two Mondays. I was reminded with Tony's picture of the surgeons that I had cataract surgery, and so I can see all of you very clearly. Of course, I do have something to read, and I will need a pair of these, but it does remind me this Christmas season, there are so many people that know about Jesus, or they know all the other things about Christmas, but they truly don't see the truth. And God has asked us to be agents of light, direction, and guidance so that people do know what the true meaning of Christmas is. But on a different note, I do want to point out to you the blue sheet you would have gotten in your mailboxes today is the new offering schedule. And so what we've done to prepare for the coming year, we have two more Sundays in 23, but starting January 7th, 24, a new offering schedule. We have changed the budget to a 51-week budget instead of a 40-week budget. We've included in the budget pastor support and long-range capital needs, bishop support, and a few of those other things that were loose offerings other weeks. So we're looking to get a better handle on our expenses. And as you can see, what we're planning to do is have monthly organizations to give for overage. At underneath the heading, you'll see it says, at the end of each month, after budgeted expenses have been met, remaining offering will be evenly divided between the listed funds or organizations. So what we plan to do is, depending on whether it's a 4 or a 5 week month, is making sure that the needs of the budget to do the ministry of the church is taken care of. And then at the end of the month, we'll see what overage we have. But we just feel that that's a good way to manage what is coming in. Again, if you feel so strongly about a specific organization, you can still designate. But our concern, obviously, is we want to just make sure that we meet the budget and then bless those other organizations. If you have any other specific questions about that, please see me about that. And thank you very much.
I just want to call your attention to the note in your bulletin about our start times next Sunday. We're going to have some food and then a shortened Sunday school time and then a normal worship time. So I just want to call your attention to that. And there's not a note in your bulletin yet, but December 31st, that Sunday, Lauren Haller is going to share a little bit about free. And then we're going to have something in the afternoon. So I encourage you to block out your schedule and encourage you to come to that, because I went to a banquet that Free put on as a fundraiser, and it was very powerful. Some of it was very difficult to hear, but it was amazing to see how God could use something terrible and work it for His glory. So I encourage you to be a part of that. So will you stand for the parting benediction? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. You are dismissed.